The mats are out and the state's best wrestlers are ready to test their strength, and Platte River Radio is ready to bring you all the action next. But first to the New Tech Seed pregame show, which starts right after this word from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
And good afternoon, everyone, from the Bob Devaney Sports Center here in Lincoln. It is a truly unique event as we bring you high school wrestling on this Saturday afternoon ahead of the Nebraska and Wisconsin duel. It will be five-time defending state champion and current Class D top-ranked Amherst against the Class C runner-up and second-ranked O'Neill Eagles. Doug Duda along with Larry Baker, our producer-engineer back at the studios, is Stacey Johns. We're glad to have you along with us for today's duel, brought to you by New Tech Seed. New Tech Seed, your yield leader. Contact Terry and Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. Well, we've got a decent crowd on hand for wrestling fans, but the one thing is, Larry, it is just two teams here today.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, Doug, it duels, it's always somewhat that way. But the nice thing is we walked up, we saw people here from outside the Amherst and the O'Neill community. So the wrestling community's kind of come together a little bit today.
We're going to take a break, be back, and we'll have more for you right after this timeout.
Ryan Trampy is a very proud supporter of all area sports. Ever wonder what sets Channel Seed products apart from other seed? It's a direct connection to Monsanto, a company consistently recognized as a leader in seed and trait technology. Tested globally, locally, and then combined with the latest traits and treatments to ensure performance potential on your acres. Thanks to the farmers, Channel Seed is now the third largest seed corn brand and fourth largest soybean seed brand in the country. Best of luck to all the athletes today from Ryan Trampy, your Channel Seed dealer.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publisher's
Clearing. Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now, delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's and Carney now delivers.
Oh, I can't believe it. Are you kidding me? Out here in the middle of nowhere, Mom and Bramps will kill me. What's that, girl? Call Carney Towing and Repair? Because they'll get us home from anywhere? But I don't have their number. 308-236-9951. Thanks, girl.
24-hour towing,
certified repair.
No matter why, no matter where.
308-236-9951.
Lock it in, Carney Towing and Repair.
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show. Let's take a look at the young men that are going to be wrestling. And Larry, some comments when you deem necessary here as we take a look at the rosters that we have been given. That does not guarantee that those will be the matchups or anything like that, but we will start telling you that our lineups are brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. At 106, O'Neill has listed Cody Watson, a freshman, against Amherst freshman Trace Bosch. In the 113-pound weight division, Jacob Donnelly is listed for O'Neill, a freshman, against Amherst sophomore Braden Cumston. At 120 pounds, O'Neill's Caden Moore, a freshman, and Peyton Cumston, a junior who finished third at state last year for Amherst. At 126 pounds, Eduardo Quintero, a junior for O'Neill, against sophomore Kalen Klingelhofer, who finished third for Amherst last year at 113 pounds. Then we're going to get into the meat of the duel, and we'll tell you that the first match will be at 160, and so they will finish with a flurry. 132, you've got John Marvin, who has been in the state runner-up spot the last 2 years. He is off to a 4-0 start for O'Neill against Brant Florell of Amherst, who Larry didn't even wrestle the first weekend trying to recover from injury, did wrestle yesterday at the Wood River Invitational.
Yeah, and wrestled really well. Had a really tough match, returning state medalist in the finals, and it didn't go well. But I think he'll be okay here today, Doug.
At 138 pounds, Caleb Ross, a junior out of O'Neill, will be taking on Colton Burke, of Amherst, who missed all of last year with an ACL injury. At 145 pounds, it's Corey Rouse, top-ranked out of O'Neill, against Logan Dibbern of Amherst. And then 152, Blake Walters of O'Neill, top-ranked against Devin Dibbern of Amherst. And those are the two that could be the most entertaining of the afternoon.
Yeah, I can tell you there's three massive matches here. It's at 32, 45, and 52, Doug.
We move on to 160 pounds, Coy Shaw or junior varsity for O'Neill against Colin Dibbern of Amherst. At 170, another number one ranked wrestler for O'Neill, David Fox against Jacob Klingelhopper of Amherst. At 182, Bailey Thompson of O'Neill against Dane Bogard of Amherst. Then you move on to 195 pounds, Chance Scholes of O'Neill, looking to go today against Jacob Martinson, the senior state qualifier from Amherst. At 220, Jason Hallbeck of O'Neill against Peyton Shockey of Amherst. And then Bryce Madsen at heavyweight for O'Neill against Tanner Hercock of Amherst, who finished third last year. Your starting lineup is brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. And they're about ready to get the duel underway. We may actually start here a little before 4 o'clock. So we remind you, you've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show brought to you by Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed, your yield leaders. Contact the New Tech Seed dealer near you for all your seed needs. And we'll get our duel underway right after this.
If you're a grower looking for big yields, start with Pioneer brand Y-Series soybeans. And don't forget to ask your Pioneer sales professional about the Pioneer premium seed treatment options that can help your soybeans stand up to the toughest growing conditions. Why go anywhere else for your entire soybean seed needs? To learn more about seed treatment options for your farm, contact Craig Weegis, local Pioneer sales representative today. Pioneer, science with service, delivering success.
At Nebraska Land National Bank, we love local. Local people, local decisions, and local ownership. We want our community to grow and prosper. That's why we are focused on providing you with high-quality, personalized service at a competitive price to help you reach your financial goals. Nebraska Land National Bank is proud to call Kearney home and provide our community with the very best in banking. Member FDIC.
Nebraska Land National Bank.
Our duel is underway here at 160 pounds. Larry, already a little action, but no score.
Yeah, Colin Dibbern here wrestling Coy Shaw. You know, it's nice to see Colin Dibbern here at 160 pounds. Still maybe a 52-pounder, but in his career, he hasn't been able to wrestle the weight. Right there, just a duck under Doug, and he keeps a hold of the claw on his neck right to his back. Dibbern's getting back points here, and he might end it.
Looking for our first points of the duel, Dibbern towards the edge of the mat, but still has plenty of room. He's actually going to step over to keep him on the mat here against Shaw. Shaw's going to get out of it with 45 seconds to go.
Yeah, Dibbern did a great job there, Doug. That was just a plain duck under, and he kept a hold of the neck, and he was able to just elevate it right to his back, up 5-0. Now, this is a duel. You want to build a lead and look for a pin.
You're looking for bonus points at any point possible, which will probably be way more important for O'Neill today than it will be for Amherst. Larry, we're all under the impression that Amherst is the favorite here today. They're just a little bit deeper. So for O'Neill to win the duel and maybe overcome a couple of 6 points, either forfeits or where you know they're going to probably get pinned, they're going to need some bonus points.
Right, and the thing is, you know, one of Amherst's best wrestlers, Jacob Klingelhopper, is going to line up against maybe the best wrestler for O'Neill, and Amherst could give up bonus points there. Dibbern getting back points again, just a wrist tilt like we talked about in the pregame.
We were earlier today on ESPN Radio from 1 to 2 previewing it. We had a big get-together pregame tailgate party down here at Heidelberg's as the first period will come to an end. And three more near fall here for Colin Dibbern, and he leads it by a score of 8-0 after the first period against Coy Shaw, a freshman. Trying to survive out here.
Now here's the trouble. Right there, Colin Dibbern gets his choice. He just defers, and it took Coach Corkle forever to decide. And in the end, he tells Coy to take both up. Doesn't want to go back under him and start getting turned again.
And a quick takedown awarded here to Dibbern. So he is now up 10-0. Again, if you get up 15 points at any point, 15-0, 20-5, doesn't matter. That will end the match with a tech fall. And he is lining up another pin combination right here. But a lot of the wrestling starting to take place on the edge of the mat.
Yeah, he's got a high half here in, running it tough. He's going to set it up on his lap. He's going to get back. He'll pin him here, Doug.
Colin Dibbern at the University of Nebraska looking for his pin here to get the duel off to a good start for Amherst. And there it is, 2 minutes, 40 seconds.
And that's 6 points, just so we understand. Any win 7 points or less is 3-team points. Any win 8 to 14 is 4-team points. And a tech fall, Doug, would get you 5. A pin gets you 6. Right now, 6-0 Broncos.
And now at 170 pounds, and we can refer to O'Neal wrestlers as rated wrestlers because B and C have rated their wrestlers. A and D will not come out with their first individual rankings until next week. And now O'Neal will be favored here with top-ranked David Fox. He was the state champion at 170 last year. He was the runner-up in his sophomore season, and he was a qualifier in his freshman season. Here's a kid that has going to get to 150 wins in his career this year.
Yeah, and deep leg attack there. Jacob Klingelhofer, no slouch himself, 5th as a sophomore coming into his junior campaign here, Doug. But you can see even physically pretty big difference there between the two.
So we're underway, a restart here as they come off the mat. And Fox looks like he wants to be a little bit of a thrower here.
Yeah, he's trying to work things upper body. He's just trying to frustrate Klingelhofer, runs him out of bounds there pretty rudely. But what you're seeing here, Klingelhofer truly, he's coming out here trying to win and truly understand that. But what he needs to do is work his way to either, if he can't secure that, Doug, he doesn't want to give up bonus points here.
He has won 55 matches in his first two seasons, and Fox is in on a single leg.
Yeah, he's in deep. Klingelhofer's got a wizard wrist. He's going to go to his back, Doug. He tried a keyhole throw. Going to put himself in big trouble here.
Fox is near the pin here. Klingelhofer trying to keep off his back, twisting, bridging. Still a minute to go in the period, though, and he's in some deep, deep trouble against the defending state champion.
I don't mind it there, Doug. A lot of people think that was kind of high risk. You're wrestling a 2-time defending finalist. You're going to have to take some chances.
45 seconds to go, a long way to ride it out here for
Klingelhofer. Look at Fox's hands. There, he just reversed his half. He'll pin him here. I was just going to say, he's got his hands locked under his shoulders. He won't pin Klingelhofer there, but he readjusted and gets the fall.
And so our first two matches don't take very long. A pin in 124 for David Fox, and that immediately ties things up at 6-6. The state champ. Interesting, Larry, because we've seen this from time to time, and most of the time it's going to happen at the state tournament. But you had a couple of state medalists there, and one on paper was dominant over the other, and as you said, he's imposing his will right off the bat. You're thinking, hey, I'm a state medalist, and I won 35 matches last week. Hard to mentally get after that, or how do you approach it?
Well, yeah, I mean, in the end, you believe, you know, you're fighting for a state championship here in your own right, so you feel like that's who you are. But when you get pushed around like that physically, you can feel that you could be in a little bit of trouble.
And we go to 182 pounds. No waiting around here. Bailey Thompson of O'Neal. He is a sophomore who started 3-0, was a state qualifier last year against Dane Bogard, getting his first varsity action earlier this year.
Yeah, and this is another one where Bailey Thompson, clear-cut favorite here for O'Neal. Again, you need Bogard to go out and make sure and hold serve here and not let this thing start 6-6-6. You know, he needs to wrestle tough here.
And that is in reference to pin for the 6 major points here. So they'll restart in the middle after they came off the match, a 2-0 lead here for Bailey Thompson. This is one of those matches too, Larry, with I think is going to determine how close this duel is in the end. You talked about the bonus points and a stall warning issued here early on.
Well, he's covering his hips. That stall warning's on Bailey Thompson. He's just square on top of the buttocks of Bogard. It's clearly stalling. Now he gets out to the side. He's got a cradle. He's working. Bogard does a nice job, brings his knees up. But, Doug, you talked about this earlier. These are the matches this duel's going to be decided on.
Yeah, you're going to have the great matchups of state winners, state top-ranked wrestlers, when we get to that 38-45-52. But it could be decided by then. You're going to have Cody Watson and Trace Bosch. Who knows anything how that's going to come out at 106?
Yeah, right now, O'Neal, he's running an old-school barbed wire, or butcher, they used to call it, where he's got both arms under and he's circling him around. Bogard's doing a great job here, Doug. This thing's still 2-0. He's not even – he hasn't been close to being in the match. Oh, got a cradle locked up here. Does Bailey Thompson.
Bogard in some trouble here with 16 seconds to go. He rolls through just trying to survive the match, and we're going to get 3 near fall, though.
Yep, and then he goes right back to that arm, that old barbed wire. And he's Works the cradle. Bogart just needs to move here a little bit.
Edge of the mat, they'll come out with 1 second to go. It'll be 5-0. Bailey Thompson of O'Neill leading Dane Bogart of Amherst. Again, Amherst wrestled yesterday. They've already had two invitationals, a pair of Fridays in Ravenna and Wood River. O'Neill hosted their own invite to start the season and haven't done anything this week.
And I tell you, down on the floor before the duel, Doug, you can tell who wrestled, hasn't wrestled since last week. O'Neill looks fresh. Amherst, bunch of black eyes, Matt Byrne all over the face. A bunch of them look pretty beat up. You can tell they were through battles yesterday.
What do you think's going through these kids' minds? I mean, because all the wrestling you've done, Larry, this is unique. You're wrestling at the home of the Huskers. It's not a state meet. Something cool going on here.
Now, right there, we get an escape there by Thompson. Doug, it's a big deal. One of the things you have to do as a coach is you have to make sure and remind those kids to stay calm. It's the same size mat, same rules, but it's hard for them to do. This is an enormous atmosphere. It's a beautiful place since they've redone it and even before. But the Bob Devaney Sports Center has always had lore in this state, regardless of which sport you're in. So you do have to manage those emotions.
So Thompson, who started on bottom, got the quick escape. We're wrestling from our feet here with the 30 seconds gone in the second period. And Thompson of O'Neill leading Bogart of Amherst 6-0. It's the Capital City Classic. And Bogart tried to find himself a single leg, but out of bounds they go.
And that's a big takedown. Bogart getting a takedown here would be huge. One more takedown here would secure the major decision for O'Neill. So a takedown by Bogart here would be big. Bailey Thompson has slowed down here quite a bit, Doug.
6-0 is your score. The duel is 6-6 with each team a pin. Colin Dibbert of Amherst, David Fox of O'Neill. This is the Capital City Classic. A handful of these high school duels have occurred before, Nebraska duels over the last few years, and they'll do it again on January 9th. Two duels, actually, will be going out at the same time. Grand Island and Omaha Scout will be wrestling out-of-state competition. Grand Island's been here before. Kearney's been here before. Grand Island and Aurora wrestled last year. Grand Island's actually been here a couple times.
Yeah, and right here, back to this match, Doug, Coach Corkle is begging Bailey Thompson to get going. He had Bogart on the ropes there early, and now he's really stopped wrestling. And Bogart has actually pushed all the action for the last 2 minutes of this match. 30 seconds left in the second period here with Bailey Thompson of O'Neill leading 6-0 over Dane Bogart. And I think Bogart's going to get his choice to start the third period. It'll be interesting what Coach Herman wants him to do. Bailey Thompson in on a shot here. Bogart does a great job spinning behind, but doesn't get there. And Doug, did you see again Bailey Thompson not wrestling on the edge?
Yeah, they came out. He thought they were out of bounds, and he stopped. He looks a little winded out there right now. Bogart about got the two. So Thompson, like you said, looks spent, and that is not good with more than 2 minutes to go in this match.
No, because the one thing I can tell you right now is Amherst will absolutely press the pace.
Now Thompson on a late shot, short time, and he's going to run out of time for the takedown. So just a one-point escape here in this period. Thompson of O'Neill 6, Bogart of Amherst nothing, but you've got to take down here, right?
No way, both up.
Well, I'm just going by that because he wasn't able to do anything.
I'd be afraid of him getting turned. I'd be afraid of him getting right now in a duel. You're not necessarily wrestling or making that decision to win the match. You're making that decision to win the duel.
So on their feet, Bogart will continue to look for a takedown, and he's going to have to somewhat be the aggressor. Let's see if Thompson plays a lot of defense here in the third period.
See, Thompson can save a lot of gas and beat you up if he's on top of you. If he's on his feet, he's quit wrestling, he's kind of spent, you've got a chance to maybe take him from feet to back, that kind of thing, but you surely have a chance to maybe keep this from being a major or a pin by being on your feet.
And right now, the story, the five-point move doesn't get it done. You're down 6-0. So they've already wrestled 40 seconds here in the third period, and he's going to have to get him to his back and do it in a hurry.
In these types of deals, Doug, as you just said, the five-point move.
As Bogart takes his shot, and there's the counter by Thompson, and Thompson will get the takedown.
Yeah, and you can see Coach Herman's upset. He was coaching there to keep this thing out of a major. You need an escape. It's 8-0, and escape still does it because it makes it 8-1, and it keeps the damage to only 3 team points, Doug.
50 seconds to go. Bogart trying to come out the back door right here.
Yeah, he's in trouble. He's going to get turned, Doug.
Thompson's really got the legs in, Lair.
Yeah, and Weisdorfer, the officials, holding 2 points here. This score is 10-0 right now, Doug.
35 seconds to go, so O'Neill is going to have the lead here after the first three matches as we get to the big boys.
You see what I'm saying here? This is a situation where Bailey Thompson was out of gas, but once he gets on top of you, he doesn't have to use much gas, and he can just torture you. He might pin him right here, Doug.
He's got 18 seconds. Got him turned. O'Neill crowd going crazy. Bogard now, though, is going to get a reversal out of the deal. Three near fall. Well, I thought we'd get a reversal, but he can't get his leg free, so no reversal there.
Nope, and that's it. 13 to nothing. Bogard really did wrestle a good match there, Doug. He just gets taken down at the end.
So Bailey Thompson, 13 to nothing, and you can tack on four more points here to make the score 10 to 6 in favor of O'Neill. We'll take a break. Be back with more of the Capital City Classic right after this.
Town & Country Bank is truly your hometown bank. We've been serving the Central Nebraska region since 1905. We currently have offices in the communities of Ravenna, Pleasanton, Kearney, and Litchfield. Town & Country Bank is locally owned and managed. We pride ourselves in serving you through exceptional personal service. We also strive to offer you the latest in technological advancements. Stop by and visit with us about your financial needs or just to chat. The hometown bank with a big interest in serving you. We are Town & Country Bank.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Doug Duda along with Larry Baker here at the Bob Devaney Sports Center in Lincoln. It is the Capital City Clash. O'Neill and Amherst dual wrestling. Three matches are in the book. Amherst won the first one, a pin by Colin Dibbern over Coy Shaw in 240. Then David Fox, top-ranked defending state champion of O'Neill, pins Jacob Klingelhofer in 124. And Bailey Thompson of O'Neill, a 13-0 major decision over Dane Bogard. And now, Larry, we are up to 195.
Yeah, and here we go. You know, this is another one that you talk about, Doug. Jacob Martinson, state qualifier last year. As we all know, headlocked his way all the way through. He's got one from anywhere, Doug. He could go to the bathroom right now and maybe throw one from in there. I mean, they could come from anywhere wrestling Chance Scholes, a sophomore.
And he's already trying to set one up here. Scholes had the first look, and they went off the mat because he was close to a takedown. So Scholes is a sophomore. He's won his first three matches via pin, so he won the O'Neill Invitational. He was injured his freshman year. Martinson is senior. Last year, as you said, was almost a surprise qualifier. He was the kind of the guy that got them all to the state tournament and then made a move with a losing record down at state.
Yeah, he was within an inch of getting a medal, hits a headlock, and the kid from Meridian just got off his back. But I'm telling you, Schroll's heels could hit the ceiling here at any moment. This is one of those deals. I'm sure Corkle has talked to his wrestler, Chance Scholes, about being careful, doing the right thing here. And you can see when you're dangerous like that from a position, it keeps the other guy's offense kind of at bay because you're a little bit hesitant about creating a bunch of offense.
Well, it was a scoreless first period, and choice will go to O'Neill, and Scholes will take down here to start period number two. Again, we started at 160. We'll finish at 152, and right off the whistle, Scholes explodes and gets the escape, so he's up 1-0, and we're back to wrestling on our feet.
You know, and this is the other thing. Martinson down at 195. Last year he had to wrestle 220 when he was much, much smaller than he is now, to be honest, because of how the lineup situation worked out. So he's at a more natural weight for himself here.
Back to the center ring. Not much going on here.
No,
and again, they're trying to set up two different things, and it doesn't jive. You know, if you're opposite, you can have 14-13 final, and if both of what they want to do ends up countering each other, you have 1-1 overtime.
Right, and the thing is Martinson here, he's not just looking for a headlock. He is a complete wrestler. He has a good headlock. But because of that, Scholes is very hesitant. He hasn't taken a shot. He's just fighting hands and fighting for position. He has no offense here. And part of that has to do, he knows the script. He wants to be very, very careful.
Again, O'Neill the state runner-up by 1 point last year to David City, and then they lost to David City 33-31 in the state duel semifinals. Amherst has won both of the state duels, and they are the five-time defending Class D team champions in Omaha. And again, everything is upper body right here, shoulders and above. Haven't seen either really either one of them try to go low.
No, this thing could pass for a Greco-Roman match right now, literally, where it's illegal to touch the legs so far here, Doug. I mean, there's been nothing. And this is starting to shape up. Jacob Martinson better be able to get out, Doug. I mean, now there's a lot of pressure on him being able to score and get out on his choice.
Well, it took Scholes 3 seconds, so we'll see if Martinson can. I've got a hunch he will, just the way – I mean, if you see the other guy scoring on you in regulation from the feet, maybe that's one thing. And there's the end of the period. This is going to be a quick one because the clock really hasn't had to stop. It's 1-0 chance. Scholes of O'Neill leading Jacob Martinson of Amherst. We go to the third. Martinson will take bottom.
I mean, I will say he has not been the best from the bottom, Doug, but part of that could be, you know, the sampling was he was up a weight. He's at 220, wasn't big enough. Those bigger kids could have held him down, but traditionally he's not a kid that's been able to get out real easy.
And he will escape here. He didn't get up off the whistle. He was broke down, but here, as Scholes went to the hips, he was able to come out the side door and tie it.
And finally here, we'll start getting this crowd into this thing. The bigger matches are coming down the road, but you get 1-1 with a minute left in a match here, and you'll start seeing these crowds get into it a little bit.
In Nebraska and Wisconsin, a top 20 collegiate duel will follow. And that is going to begin at 6 o'clock. You're listening to KKPR-FM, Kearney, Amherst, and Elm Creek, and the World Wide Web, PlatteRiverPreps.com. There's a little other sports news today. UNK with a new football coach, not officially, but we have been able to confirm in numerous reports saying the same, that Coach Lamberson, the offensive coordinator from Central Missouri, played at Northwest Missouri State, will be the new coach of the Lopers. Also, it's a Saturday, plenty of basketball going on. We've got Kearney Bearcat basketball at 5:15 on ESPN, 1460, 1550. Go ahead, Larry.
I do like it here where the officials allowing him to wrestle. We haven't got the ridiculous double stall call. He's not inserting himself here. He's letting these two guys figure this thing out on their own. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a special day. There's no need to get nitpicky. We're down to 30 seconds, but then as we say that, there's a stall warning against O'Neill. And making a move and then throwing Scholes out of bounds is Jacob Mortensen. So,
and here's
Coach Corkle says you got to get going, but this is where Martinson is going to be. He's being the aggressor.
Yeah, and I agree with the stall call, and you see Coach Corkle did too. He didn't yell at the official. He yelled at his wrestler. And I tell you what, Weisdorfer might stall him out of here. The kid's not doing anything. All the ties have been forced here by Jacob Martinson.
15 seconds, and Martinson can't do anything crazy in short time. 10 seconds. You don't want to take a bad shot and get thrown.
No, right. You're in overtime already. And in your mind, you know that. And you make sure you've coached that position to your kid. 1-1, 30 seconds left. You're in overtime already. He needs to keep pushing that. He's digging underhooks in and Russian tie. If he stays with that Russian tie and he's trying to go Russian tie foot prop, as long as he does that, Doug, he might win this with a stall call.
Martinson just keeps going here, though, right? He's got the advantage going into the overtime period.
Yes.
Finish it in the first minute.
Yes, he needs to keep running that. Right there's that underhook I talked about.
And lost the arm.
And he'll go Russian tie here. He's got underhook on the far side, and he's going to look to go Russian tie. As long as he keeps doing that, right there's a little faint shot. You're going to get a stall call here is my guess.
You're hearing a lot from the crowd right now, of course, from the Amherst side. Even some that are mixed in with O'Neill don't get caught for stalling.
Yeah, I mean, they're telling him.
30 seconds to go. Yeah, don't come to Lincoln and get stalled out.
No. And, right, he saved himself there. Scholes took a shot there, a little faint shot. That saved him. That'll get him far enough now. He won't get stalled out of here with that.
Out of bounds to reset it with 17. It's 1-1. Jacob Martinson of Amherst and Chance Scholes of O'Neill. 1-1. Each an escape. 15 seconds to go. If we get down to sudden victory, Scholes will get the chance.
Well, the tiebreakers, I think, will favor Scholes because I think he's better from getting out, Doug.
And I think Martinson kind of knows that. He's really trying to set up a couple of weak throws here in the last 15 seconds, not able to secure anything, and now we move on to double overtime.
Yeah, in these tiebreakers, I think it favors Scholes.
Should I call it double overtime, Larry, or have you guys invented a new
word? No, these are tiebreakers. And here, of course, these are tiebreakers here. It's not double overtime anymore. We have the sudden victory. Now we're to the tiebreakers. If nobody scores through the two tiebreakers, we will go to the ultimate tiebreaker.
All right, we're in the 30 seconds where Martinson will be on bottom first, and then it'll be Scholes on bottom, and Scholes is riding him tough.
Yeah, this is what I was afraid of here, Doug.
Martinson's got to get out because Scholes.
You're going to get a stall call possibly, Doug. He's got to return him. That is stalling. There it is.
A stall, so that
and locked hands.
And now it's 3-1. 3-1 Amherst.
Now we still have to go to the other one, Doug. It's 3-1. But now Scholes gets his choice. My guess is he'll take both up, Doug. There's 2 seconds left. Excuse me. When they go to the next tiebreaker, I think Scholes will take both up because he's down by two.
So 2 seconds to go here. Still a chance to pop out for an escape, but not really going to work too hard. And it is 3-1, Jacob Martinson, as we go to the second portion of the ultimate tiebreaker.
No, they're
or of the tiebreaker.
They're going to go down. What they're thinking is they can get out and a takedown in 30 seconds. I would go both up and try to get the takedown, tie it, and go to the ultimate tiebreaker. So people at home understand, when somebody stands up and you are the one in control, you have to return him or it is stalling.
And now, of course, Martinson can stall because he hasn't been dinged. Now there's the escape.
And he should run from him. There's 20 seconds left. He hasn't been dinged. But he's good in these ties, Doug. See that? Digs that underhook right back in. He's controlled the whole match with that underhook. He goes right back to it.
Hasn't been a takedown of the entire match. 10 seconds to go. Martinson just needs to stand on his feet. He can even stall because he hasn't been warned yet. 5 seconds to go. Scholes not taking his shot, and Martinson will win 3-2 in the tiebreaker.
Big match, and now there, and you see Corkle shake his head. Scholes takes a shot with 1 second left, the only one he took in the match. The O'Neill contingent is begging him to shoot, and he just never did.
So, 3 points on the board here for Amherst. It'll be O'Neill 10 and Amherst 9, each school winning 2 matches here to get things started off. And it's on to 220 pounds. Peyton Shockey for Amherst, Jason Hallbeck from O'Neill. So, we have a solid and first real competitive match of this duel.
Yeah, Doug, and this one may not be. Shockey was fourth last year at the state meet, and he is a pinner. Wrestling Jason Hollebeck here, sophomore. He's got a 2-2 record. Shockey will be looking for big money here, that's for sure. But that was a big match that swings. You know, it's a 6-point swing. You get three where they don't, you know. So
O'Neill needs every single one of those,
no
and
question.
They had one swing the wrong way.
Yes.
So now Shockey against Hollebeck, who was 18-20 as a freshman. And he's in on a leg, in on a shot here against Shockey, who finished fourth at state last year.
Shockey does a great job. He funk rolls. He's just got to keep sitting up. He's going to come out the back door, Doug. Dynamite job. Jason Hollebeck had it up, had the leg up, went to trip. Shockey funk rolls between Hallbeck's legs. And now there's nothing, and Shockey's going to work his way maybe to a takedown here, Doug.
Good scramble here in the first minute. And he may do more than, well, if he, I think he's going to lose the leg. And there's a takedown for O'Neill's Jason Hallbeck.
Yeah, they're fired up. And now he's got Shockey cradled, Doug. No back points. Now they're counting.
Shockey in some trouble here in the first period. He gets out of it. He's off his back. No near fall. There was only a one count. Tyler Herman now right on the edge of the mat, which is where his wrestlers are as we view it. It's at the 12 o'clock position at the top of the mat. And Herman's right there trying to give instructions of how to get out because there's still 20 seconds to go in the period.
Yeah, what he's got to do is just withstand this and then get it going here. Hallbeck got on a roll here. Look, Tyler's upset, and he should be. I think Shockey will get it figured out here. Peyton's an awful good wrestler. Did a dynamite job coming throwing that funk roll. I think he just ran out of a little bit of gas there, it looked like, in the position.
Coach Corkle was trying to double check that there were no back points, and as they come off the whistle, standing up but not getting the escape is Peyton Shockey as he's ran off the mat by Hallbeck with 11 seconds to go here in the first period. Whoa. So you can tell there's a little leftover energy from the last match, and of course a little underdog start here spurs it on as well.
Yeah, and that's what happens in these duels. Once that energy gets started, it really runs. But I didn't like the way Pate, they just went out of bounds nearest us, Doug, and I didn't like the look in his face there. you asked the question earlier about what this environment can do to you. His face looked very, very blank. It may be affecting him in a very poor way.
And he's going to be broken down to the mat again, but we are going to be at the end of the first period. Through all of this, it's just 2-0. Jason Hallbeck of O'Neill with the lead. This is a match, if they pulled the upset, could give them hope for the duel overall.
There's no question. This is a match that Amherst surely was thinking bonus points at, Doug.
What do you think about this? Hallbeck takes choice. He goes bottom.
Dangerous. I mean, watch the wrist tilt series get started here with Peyton Shockey.
And off the whistle we go. 2-0 O'Neill with the lead here. They lead the duel 10-9 through four matches.
Yeah, and Hallbeck got to his feet, and I think he's going to get out, Doug.
He rips the hands. He circles. He's out for the escape.
Peyton Shockey's not wrestling like Peyton Shockey right now.
You never know. Then the coaches tell you afterwards that he didn't feel good. He was ill. He was sick. It tore him up yesterday at the Wood River Invite, whatever the case may be. He was the winner yesterday, one of the four Amherst winners yesterday.
Yeah, and he just looks a little bit gassed. This could be, you know, one of the things also that happens, if you look right now, Amherst has got about five wrestlers up warming up. And in a duel, you will start to get up at a different time. But he may have warmed up too soon, Doug. He may have spent himself in his warm-up.
Nervous energy.
Yes. Or maybe he didn't start soon enough. Maybe he didn't get a good enough warm-up and didn't blow his lungs out. But he is very, very slow, not wrestling like himself. He needs a takedown in this second period.
3-0. Jason Hallbeck, the sophomore, 2-2 at their own invite. The only action O'Neill's had this year.
And, you know, you come in and says, well, geez, he's 2-2. Peyton Shockey was 40-9 last year. But that's a pretty good tournament, you know. O'Neill's some good people, you know.
Valentine.
Yeah.
The center again. 40 seconds to go. Still 3-0. Hallbeck leads Shockey.
We have seen no offense come out of Amherst in the last two matches. And, I mean, absolutely none.
And Shockey still, he is not the aggressor here. Hallbeck is the aggressor.
Yeah, Hallbeck's backing him off at every turn, and Shockey's fighting all of Hallbeck's ties versus making Hallbeck fight his own ties.
15 seconds to go here in the second period. It will be Shockey choice in the third, and Shockey in on a single. Well, he took a shot, didn't finish.
Yeah, he needed to commit there. He hit a duck under and went to a high C, a high crotch, and he just didn't stay committed to it. If he stays committed to that shot, Doug, I think he would have been okay. He's got to go down and get a takedown. He's got to go down, go get out, and get a takedown.
So 3-0 O'Neill with the lead here. And Shockey will be on bottom, 220. And then Tanner Hercock, a almost assured pin at heavyweight, would be next.
Yeah, he tried a Peyton Shockey tried a little Peterson roll there, lost the wrist, and now he's broke down flat on his belly. Hollebeck is straight flat on his hips. You can see a warning for stalling come here if he doesn't get out to the side. Look like a full Nelson there.
Yeah, 140 to go.
Shockey's got to get to wrestling here. Hollebeck's running a tough high half. Now he's in an Olsen roll, and he's going to get back points, Doug. Might pin him. How fitting that we see an Olsen roll for a pin in the place that the Olsen roll was invented, the Bob Devaney Sports Center.
What a job here by the young sophomore, Jason Hallbeck, unofficially 4 minutes and 38 seconds. And our first true upset of this duel.
Yeah, Doug, they call it an Olsen roll. Corey Olsen, 3-time All-American, 2-time national finalist for Nebraska, made that move famous. Wow, didn't expect that.
Let's go to the heavyweights. You have got Tanner Hercock, the third-place medalist at the state meet last year, against a young man in Bryce Madsen that, if we get the story right, was actually playing basketball maybe as soon as this summer. So he's on the floor. They say back home they call him Buckets because he was a basketball player, but he hasn't been taken down in the first 20 seconds, and I would have expected that was the case had he been just a guy out there to wear a singlet. And now while he's adjusting his headgear, Hercock takes him down on the edge of the mat.
Yeah, that was a blast duckle, blast double, excuse me. Probably felt like a blast buckle. So, Hercock's going to get it going now. Look at his footwork.
Oh, they did not give him the takedown on the edge of the mat.
Hercock's foot slipped. Now he's going to get two.
Off the restart, 2-0, a minute 20 to go here in the first. Hurkacz trying to drag him back on the mat, and Madsen trying to get off the mat here for a restart. But this is probably the one match that you would expect there to be total domination in today out of the 14.
Yeah, and then you're going to start seeing, all the biggies are coming.
Don't forget, we've also got Storm Hockey airing right now. It's on the Breeze 94.5.
Game
after
over.
The win. Hurkacz again working, and he's got him turned, and this won't take long. Hurkacz trying to finish it off here with a first period pin, and there it is, 1-17 for the senior, Tanner Hurkacz.
Yeah, he looks good, Doug. He looks confident. You know, he got third at the state meet last year, probably should have been in the finals, got beaten overtime in the semis, and he's just showing a tremendous amount of confidence.
Well, that is our sixth match. It's O'Neill 16 and Amherst 15. And now we get to the little guys at 106 pounds. It'll be Cody Watson of O'Neill against Trace Bosch of Amherst. Bosch is a freshman, and Watson was 5-8 last year. Dropped his first two matches in O'Neill, so the favorite should be here for Amherst.
Yeah, and Trace Bosch just took him down straight to his back. Bosch is a freshman, awful tough here. It looks like he's going to end it, Doug. His father was a state champion for Centura. There it is, pin over in, 18 seconds?
18 seconds, and just like that, 12 points swings around here for Amherst, and now they take a 21-16 lead over O'Neill. So I'm corrected. It was not Tanner Hurkacz with the biggest domination. It is Trace Bosch.
Yeah, Trace Bosch is pretty tough. He's a freshman. It's been a ton of weight to get off him, to get him down here. Had a big win yesterday in the semifinals at Wood River. We'll see him on Friday night, Saturday time at the state meet.
And now Braden Cumston in. He's trying to get a quicker pin, and he does! Against a first-year wrestler in Donley, and it took 7 seconds. Tell me what happened in 7 seconds, Larry.
Yeah, he took him down straight to his back and splattered him. That's what happened. And this is where you have to be a little bit careful because, and I know the big matches are coming, I understand, but when Amherst gets on a roll, look out. They get tough. You know, now they're going to send Peyton Cumston, who got third a year ago.
In a minute and 42 seconds over three matches, Amherst just picked up 18 points. They went from 16-9 down to 27-16 up. And Peyton Cumston, the third-place finisher at 106 last year, will now take on another freshman in Caden Moore, who has a very good resume as a youth wrestler. He was third at State, sixth at the Midwest Nationals in their youth program.
Yeah, and Peyton's tough. He's one of those tradition guys we talked about. Oh, that was close. They're fighting there on the edge. Peyton just about Kelly tipped him right to his back. But, you know, Peyton was 3-16 as a freshman. He's one of those guys that's coming. He was just too small. Last year gets third at the state meet. He's been wrestling in the room with a bunch of studs, so he's a salty, salty kid.
This is the Capital City Classic Duel on Classic Hits 98.9 and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Amherst and O'Neill. O'Neill, the defending C runner-up by 1 point to David City last year. And then they lost to David City in the semifinals of the state duels in Kearney. Amherst has not lost much for a long, long time.
It's been a while. This Caden Moore is really polished. You can tell he does a lot of wrestling. He's in on a leg. Peyton Cumston got into the crotch and stepped across for the takedown. Nice job.
50 seconds to go here in the first period. Moore comes to his feet, but they are out of bounds.
Yep, still down. That was a beautiful job. And that's the tough thing when you're a freshman. Caden Moore's taken every kid that he's ever wrestled down with that. And Cumston was able to just lock in the crotch, scoot his hips, and step over. I can assure you that Moore probably hasn't wrestled very many kids so far in his life that can do something like that. And that's just the experience piece.
So Moore trying to come to his feet, rip the hands away, but Cumston able to break him back down to the mat. 120-pound division. We're already halfway through our duel here, kind of flying along. We've had a number of pins. And now trying to face out there, but Moore does get out. I was going to say, I thought he botched it there for a minute.
Yeah, there's only 15 seconds left. You don't ever want to give points up right at the end of a period like that. That's kind of a big deal.
So time will wind down. That'll be the end of the first period here. It'll be Cumston of Amherst 2 and more of O'Neill won.
Yeah, and Cunston right away says, I'm going down. Oh, Tyler wanted him to defer. Oh, nope, they let him change it. He said down, and Tyler said, no, I want you to defer.
So Caden Moore of O'Neill will take bottom. And right off the whistle, trying to set out.
Yeah, he does a great job moving off the bottom, does Caden Moore. He understands position very well. As I said, very polished freshman. He's trying to switch. Cumston's trying to re-switch. He's going to do a nice job, step over the ankle. But he hasn't been able to get started. He may get back points here, Doug. Nope, the leg came out. May get reversed. Cumston may get reversed. He needs to get his hips up.
And he does, maintains control. But a good flurry underneath there. Moore continuing to work, but he better be careful or he's going to get himself in trouble.
Boy, he is a worker, Doug. Just some of these positions he hasn't been in before. This will do this young man a lot of good later in the year, being in some of these spots there. Peyton Cumston just tried to three-quarter Nelson stack Moore. You can do that in the Husker land ranks all you want. You're not beating somebody at this level with that. And gives up the escape.
So it's 2-2 with a minute to go in the second period in a key swing match here at 120 pounds. Again, you kind of got to figure O'Neill needs a win here, which would be an upset.
Yeah, I think so. You know, one of the other pieces here, too, is Caden Moore may start to run out of gas here a little bit, Doug. This is, again, a situation he maybe hasn't been in a match of this pace, you know, and he may start to run himself out of gas. His face is now starting to look a little flush.
We talked about last week when we were doing the Kearney High invite, a couple of the freshmen in the finals, really all that adrenaline. Then next thing you know, there's still half the match to go.
Yeah, and you see his headgear's all over his head. His chin strap is up around his nose. The earpieces are sideways sometimes. I mean, that pace is just very different.
Oh, late shot here by Cumston, and he was out of bounds with 3 seconds to go. So they'll restart, and it looks like we'll be knotted up, and Cumston will get choice going here into the third.
I'm impressed with Cumston's position. A lot of times these guys that are really good that come back down to 106 is like a sophomore or junior. They're good wrestlers, but maybe it's because they stayed small. You know, he's bumped up to 120 pounds here, Doug, and he's holding great position. Looks very good to me.
So Peyton Cumston takes bottom as we start the third period here in a 2-2 tie at 120 pounds. The dual score is Amherst 27, O'Neill 16. Amherst has just won 3 straight matches by pin at heavyweight 6 and 13. And the premier matches are still to come in this duel.
Yeah, Cumston's got to get moving here. He should. Moore looks good on top. Yeah, Tyler's telling him, you got to get hand control from your feet there. Got to get hand control from your feet and get out. Cumston right away puts his face on the mat. Not what you want to see. On these restarts, Doug, you need him to be explosive. You want to explode off the whistle.
1:30 to go in a 2-2 match. Moore continues to work here for O'Neill.
Yeah, if Cumston can get out, I think he'll be okay.
And our official just took the whistle out of his mouth and said something to Cumston on bottom.
That means get to moving. Oh, see, you got to be a little careful there. Moore tried a big high-risk move. He still may turn Cumston here, but you got to be careful. Cumston's an old Wiley veteran. He'll be able to come out on top of those.
2-2, they've ridden him out for a minute here. Peyton Cumston needing to get out from bottom to score or pop the reversal. Moore continuing to work very hard from the top, but now they come to their feet. Moore now going to try and throw him out of bounds, and they do go out of bounds and a restart.
We need to see an explosive restart out of Amherst here. Peyton Cumston stuck his face in the mat last time they're on the restart. Caden Moore's good on top, Doug.
Looking right at his coach, Tyler Herman, with the way they're situated here at the Devaney Center in the Capital City Clash. O'Neill and Amherst, a high school duel ahead of the Nebraska-Wisconsin duel at 6.
We're going to go to overtime, and I think we're going to go to overtime with Amherst being warned for stalling.
Oh, Moore trying to turn him again, but if he gets too high, he's going to get reversed. Oh. And there's a count. Moore's got him on his back, and a stick.
Wow. Doug, that's a big deal. He trapped that arm. He trapped that arm across Cumston's chest several times, but he hadn't been able to make it go, and that time he had her just enough. And when he went over, it wasn't that Compton didn't have any fight in him, but Caden Moore had him tight enough. He wasn't coming off. Dynamite job by a freshman to go through all that and do it late in the match.
Yeah, he's just trying to hang on, and he didn't just try to hang on because all Compton had to do was get an escape to take the lead. And it did not work out, and we're ready to go at 126, and that closes the match, 27-22 Amherst. How many of the final matches, three or four, that are going to be all – is this the last one that's not going to get crazy
on
us?
Yeah, I think 32, 38, 45, and 52 are all big matches. 38 might not be. I think Colton Byrd probably is the clear cut there without question.
But then you've got a pair of Diverns against a pair of top-ranked wrestlers from O'Neill and Corey Rouse and Blake Walder. So right now, Eduardo Quintero, he's a 2-2 senior. He was part of the team, had 17 wins elsewhere as a sophomore, only had a couple of varsity matches last year. Kalen Klingelhofer, a third place at state last year. So Amherst the favorite here. But again, we're going to get an O'Neill takedown.
I think we're seeing something different here. Amherst doesn't look explosive from their feet where they normally are. It's going to be locked hands here. Kalen's got a free move here. If he can complete this, it'll be worth three. There, he gets the reversal for two, and then he's going to get the technical violation, one locked hands, to make it 3-2. But we're not seeing that relentless explosiveness from their feet that we've seen from Amherst in the past. And as we talked about earlier, Doug, Amherst does not have a state champion on this roster. They've only got one guy that's been to the finals, things like that. Got a bunch of guys that have had their hearts broke. It may take a little bit to get them there.
I want to talk about our seeds to success here as we get to the end of the first period with a 3-2 lead for Kalen Klingelhofer of Amherst. Quintero trying to circle, and get a late escape here and hanging on to the is Klingelhofer, and it looks like nothing more is going to happen. So, Larry, our Seeds to Success brought to you by your Pioneer Seed Representative, Craig Weeches. Pioneer knows more about seeds with top-yielding Pioneer brand soybeans. Be sure to get the best for your field this year with Craig Weeches, your Pioneer Seed Professional. Science with service, delivering success. When we get to these final three or four big-time matches, what's going to be the difference between O'Neill and Amherst?
On either side, you cannot think about a match that happened before you. And you cannot think about what will happen at the end of yours, i.e. team score. These matches are too top flight. What I mean by that is they're total top shelf. They'll take all your concentration. Don't get caught up in thinking how we're wrestling as a team or what's going to happen. If you better keep it together. The guy that goes out in whichever colored singlet does that will win those big matches.
Our Seeds to Success brought to you by Craig Weeches, your Pioneer Seed Professional. Still 3-2 here, trying to get an escape to start this second period. Wrestlers to their feet, and there is the escape for Kalen Klingelhofer, and he is now up 4-2 as they are off the mat and restart with 1:17 to go in the second.
It's going to be fun to watch, Doug. You know, you and I are lucky enough we get to see Amherst early with this, and then we always do some of their we of course, do a middle-of-the-season deal, and then we get them at the end of the year. There's another takedown. For Quintero, he's now 4-4 is the score. But we get to see them, and we always see them improve. You know what I mean? Who we see at the end of the year is never who we saw at the beginning. This is going to be interesting. This is not a normal Amherst team in a sense of how physical and forward they are. It'll be interesting to see if he can get that fixed by the end of the year.
And we hope to be able to talk to Coach Herman at the end of the duel here today as Quintero slammed at the edge of the mat there and gets up kind of trying to shake things off as he comes back with Klingelhofer on bottom. 41 seconds to work off the bottom here for Kalen.
Yeah, Kalen just, I mean, again, we haven't seen him get going. Kalen's a very tough wrestler. But, you know, he's come up a long way, 13-26.
Come to his feet, then a stall warning, and it's going to result in a reversal here for Klingelhofer.
See, Quintero looks to me like maybe he's just kind of hanging on. He's wrestling well, but it has more to do with Klingelhofer than it does with him. And if Klingelhofer gets it going here just even a little bit, you're going to start seeing points.
6-4. trying to work the wrist, yeah. But time is going to expire, and we'll go to the third period. Kalen Klingelhofer of Amherst, 6. Eduardo Quintero of O'Neill, 4. And, yeah, both up. Quintero has the 2 takedowns. It makes sense that he wants both up here to start the third to try to get this thing tied up. In the dual score, it's 27-22 Amherst, and we will have 4 more matches after this.
Yeah, Amherst can't have anything crazy happen in this match. Because, I mean, you start getting to where of the 4 that are left, 3 of them are coin flips, and I honestly would say that O'Neill may be favored in those 3.
And here comes Klingelhofer on a throw by. He's trying to get the takedown here, but holding onto that ankle is Quintero. He doesn't quite have complete control.
No, he's
circling.
Got a death grip on that leg, Doug.
Yeah. Quintero's got a and Quintero lost the leg, and there's the 2-point takedown. Klingelhofer now with an 8-4 lead over Quintero of O'Neill.
And Klingelhofer's tough with his wrists and his bars. It wouldn't surprise me to see him turn Quintero here. He's really working. That's it. He's got a wing. He's got a wing wrist, Doug.
105 to go in the match. 8-4, Kalen Klingelhofer over Quintero of O'Neill. Trying to give some insurance points here to the Broncos. Oh, look at him run this. Look at him run this.
And he's long. Them long guys that run those wings, that's painful to defend, let me tell you.
Of course, again, Coach Corkle and Coach Herman were in Florida for the Disney Duels. They coached the Nebraska team, had a lot of success. A lot of these kids were on that. So it's not like, oh, O'Neill's here and Amherst is here. These kind of coaches, communities, and wrestlers have kind of got to know each other over the last 2 years.
Yeah, and Corkle's a great guy, as we all know Tyler, but Brian Corkle is a class act.
Down to 20 seconds to go. Coach Corkle working the sidelines like a crazed basketball coach.
Well, he knows that he had this thing at one time, this match, where maybe they were going to win the match.
And they're going to end up being a win for Amherst as time expires. Kalen Klingelhofer, 8. Eduardo Quintero, 4. Team score, Amherst, 30. O'Neill, 22. And now, really, there's 3 knockdowns that we figured today. The first one is next. Brent Florell, John Marvin. We'll take a timeout. Back with more of the Capital City Classic after this.
This sports broadcast is made possible in part by Kappa Grain in Elm Creek. Did you know that Kappa has a way for you to save time, money, and get the best prices for your grain and have records of it? With their online offer center powered by DNT Market Space. See KappaGrains.com. Make sure you're getting what you deserve for all your hard work and dedication. Kappa takes great pride in doing what they can to make it easier, faster, and more profitable for you. Best of luck to all the area athletes from Kappa Grains.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Carl.
132-pound matches underway, Larry, and we've already got a little excitement between Brant Florell of Amherst, 4th last year, and a state runner-up, John Marvin of O'Neill.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of these other matches have been fun to watch, but now you're getting into the meat and potatoes. I mean, you've got Brant Florell, who's been 5th, 3rd, and 4th at the state meet. He's got, you know, I mean, he's got 3 medals, and then John Marvin, he's walked in the Parade of Champions twice, Doug. I mean, this one is big time. And there's been some big-time stuff. Still 0-0, 1:15 left in the first period. But Marvin is really pressing it on his feet. He's been in position to take Florell down about 3 times. And now he's just done it.
And he will right there. So Marvin with the first takedown. 35, 36, 37 wins for John Marvin in his career. 28, 39, and 40 for Florell. And it's 2-0 Marvin.
And Florell's he's another one that at times has been ridden. He's got to get out here. He can't get ridden. Marvin just let him go. So 2-1, 1 minute left in the first period.
So back on their feet they go, and Florell, a pair of seniors, getting after it here.
Yeah, and Marvin going to take another shot on the edge. Florell's going to have to open up because I think Marvin's going to keep the pressure on Florell. There he took another shot as Florell was trying to come in. And I think he's going to keep pressuring and pressuring. So Florell's going to have to open up. And as we know, you know, Florell wasn't able to finish the football season. So his wind may not be all the way there yet.
Yeah, he got beat in the finals yesterday, correct?
Yes, he did.
Four champions, as I said, were Colton Burke, Logan Dibbern, Devin Dibbern, Peyton Shockey, as they won the Wood River Invitational. 2-1, your score, 30 seconds to go in the first period. It is Marvin of O'Neill leading Florell of Amherst, 30-22 in the team score.
And still nothing. Florell hasn't been close yet. Florell's not been in on his legs. The closest he was to scoring was off of one of Marvin's shots. He's going to have to create an angle and create a shot. If you look at his feet, they're completely quiet. There, Marvin's close to getting another takedown. Florell's all counter right now. He's got to get some offense of his own going.
They'll restart in the middle with 3 seconds, and that'll be the end of the first period with your score, John Marvin of O'Neill, 2, and Brant Florell of Amherst, 1, 30-22 in favor of Amherst. But if Colton Burke comes in and gets you 6 points, then that pretty much means that O'Neill has to win all the rest of the matches, Larry.
Yeah.
And by some bonus points, let's say it's 36-22, there'd be 18 possible points. They'd need 14 to tie or 15 to take the lead.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But we'll see here, and you see Tyler telling him you've got to get to moving him a little bit. He needs to get to work on top. Brant Florell is awesome on top, Doug. He's another one that does a great job of controlling wrists, controlling wings. He needs to get to work on top here. Marvin's doing a nice job working to get out here.
2-1 still your score. Marvin spinning, sitting, facing, getting the escape. And it's 3-1 now in favor of John Marvin.
Yeah, I mean, Florell's going to be able to go down. Marvin will probably cut him. So, I mean, it's 3-2. This thing comes down to Florell's got to find a way to get a takedown.
Up next, it'll be Colton Burt of Amherst and Caleb Ross of O'Neill, and then Logan Dibbern against Corey Rouse and Devin Dibbern against Blake Walters. Two number one ranked wrestlers.
Yeah, O'Neill's got the three guys here, and they're sending them out. Right here's one of them, and John Marvin.
Again, Nebraska and Wisconsin collegiate duel will be up next. That gets underway at 6. And off the mat again they come. A minute to go here.
And it's been Florell's back to the edge every time they've gone off. He just has not been able to create any offense from his feet, Doug. He's not even getting close.
The only takedown by Marvin in period number 1, about halfway through, and we're down to 45 seconds to go here in period number 2, 3-1.
Florell, it was a big shot there by Marvin. Florell does a great job in countering, but then he kind of got stuck with his butt on the mat. Marvin's going to come out the back door here. I think Florell needs to find his ankle. If he can find his ankle, if he can find that ankle, he's going to be okay. There he does. Now he needs to put it over his head. He let it go.
And a takedown for John Marvin. 5-1, 25 seconds to go here in the second period. Marvin with the lead over Florell.
Yeah, and you see Marvin's got a cradle locked up. They're on the edge. I don't think he's going to be able to have the strength to pull him back without taking himself out of bounds, but he has a cradle locked up, Doug, and to finish that, you pull it straight back.
And time now, 5 seconds as they come out of bounds on a restart, so we should have a 5-1 lead here for O'Neill. But you still just kind of get the feeling that O'Neill has to have a dominant performance here at 32.
Yeah, I think so, because I think Colton Berg's going to get a big win.
And that'll be the end of the second period with the score, John Marvin of O'Neill 5 and Colton Burke of Amherst 1, and Burke will take bottom to start the third.
Yeah, and he's gone down here. He needs to find something big. He just hasn't been able to create the offense from his feet, so an escape, you know, doesn't yield him much because he's going to hand fight his way to a 5-2 loss.
Not much off the initial whistle here to start the third period. Yeah, it just hasn't been much that Colton Burke or Brant Florell, excuse me, has been able to do here.
No, Doug, this really could be. This is only his, what, you know, he didn't wrestle to prevent invite. This very well could be his first week on the mat, period, of the year. And we're just seeing wrestled at a tournament yesterday, so there's a lot of gas gone out of that tank. You know, we just may see that this first week was just too much for him.
Again, Brant finished fifth as a freshman, third as a sophomore, fourth last year. Marvin won 37 matches and qualified at 106 pounds his freshman year but did not medal. Then second the last 2 years at 120 and 126. Now he's at 132.
Yeah, and he's a tough customer, Doug. He'll push the pace, tremendous amount of offense. Marvin's a very good wrestler.
We had some energy in the building earlier, and now we've kind of quieted it down with not too much to talk about here in this match. Just been pretty yeoman-like effort for John Marvin.
I think these last three are two of them are the ones everybody wanted to see, and they're pretty high-paced wrestlers, so I think you'll see the energy come back. There has just been nothing happened in this match.
Yeah, he's just kind of laying there, and now John Marvin going to try and make something happen. He locks up the cradle, finally got around that neck, and he's going to get the cradle count. He's going to get a three call.
He just scooted his body away, Doug. There's a chance here. He could pin him.
See, and this would be huge in the team race. Colton Burke waiting on deck. Brant Florell trying to avoid being pinned here with 30 seconds to go in the match. Marvin is just going to let him go. He kind of lost what was going there.
Doug, I'm not sure if Martin's not out.
Yeah.
Martin might be out. Like, he may have squeezed so hard and just forgot to breathe, if you will.
Yeah, he looked like he let go and was about ready to pass out.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I think he squeezed to the point where he made himself pass out. Now, the interesting piece is if he cannot continue, that's 6 points Amherst.
8-2. And we are on injury time right here for O'Neill. We'll take a break on the Capital City Classic here on Classic Hits. There's 25 seconds left in the match, and I would imagine John Marvin will use all the 90 seconds here. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
For all your custom slaughtering and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats has everything you need to fill your freezer with locally raised beef and pork. From steaks, roast, and hamburger, why go anywhere else when you have the best meat right here in Amherst? Belschner is a very proud supporter of all of our youth and their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in and out of the game.
John Marvin now back to wrestling and just kind of out of gas right here.
Oh, my gosh. Those two penalty points, Doug, just made it a major decision.
Why were there two penalty points?
Holy cow. There must have been something said or his foot wouldn't go on the line. Weisdorfer looked right at Brant and bang, called him for some sort of a violation there. He didn't give the hand signal, but that made it a major decision, Doug. It's 26-30, a four-point duel right now with two coin flips coming. This thing, Colton Berg better get it going here. And, of course, he's been third place at the state meet.
So 10-2, John Marvin, the official score. And it's 30-26, as Larry said, Amherst with three matches to go. Colton Burke, junior of Amherst, out all of last year with an ACL injury. He was third in the state as a freshman, so you bring him back to that powerful team they had last year. Then Caleb Ross, he has just kind of made it through his career here. He was 3-1 in the O'Neill Invitational, but 1-4 as a freshman, 1-2 as a sophomore, then wrestled a lot more as a junior. It was 11-10, and Burke in on a shot.
Yeah, Colton Burke's a stud. I mean, as a freshman, he was just tougher than nails. Misses the season last year, and you see him in here in on a leg tough, but Ross is fighting him off here with a whizzer wrist, Doug.
I think by the talking about what just happened in the last match as well, is that no matter what happens here, O'Neal puts two top-ranked wrestlers on the mat with an opportunity to win the duel. And there's the takedown for Burke. But no matter what happens here, an opportunity to win the duel, and Burke can make it a lot easier for Amherst to squeak by here if he can get the pin. Now, if he does get the pin, then that means O'Neal not only has to win both of the matches, but they have to get some major points and maybe even get a pin, because it would be a 10-point duel.
Yeah, Burke's running a wing wrist here, and, I mean, he's torturing Ross with it right now. You can't understand how bad that hurts, Doug.
He's about ready to pop his shoulder out.
Yes, and he's gonna pin him with it. Watch him. Once he gets him there, he's got the old double chicken wing. Once he gets there, he's going to sit to his butt.
20 seconds remaining. Yeah, once that shoulder gives way, it's going to be over.
Yeah, what Berg wants here, at some point, he's going to try to get both butt cheeks on the mat.
Yeah, but he's running out of time. 5 seconds left of the period. He's not going to be able to finish it here. And very sore will be Caleb Ross, but he will have survived the first period 5-0.
Congratulations, son. You survived the first period. You're down by 5, and you have 2 torn labrums. Congratulations.
And Caleb Ross will get the choice here in the second period, and he will take bottom. 3 matches to go here in the Capital City Classic, a special afternoon wrestling from the Devaney Center on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Amherst, and Ravenna, and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Doug Duda, Larry Baker, our producer engineer, Stacy Johns. As always, a big thank you to the many fine sponsors. When we're done, the New West postgame show. And we'll talk about what's going on here. It's been a real clean duel so far. Haven't had blood time, haven't had any scuffles. It's just been good, clean wrestling so far. And Amherst, with 3 quick pins at heavyweight 6 and 13, have taken the lead in the duel.
Yeah, and now you're seeing vintage Amherst go out, take him down right away, and then just get started on him. I mean, on top, I mean, just riding him like a dog here. He's got the old saddle cinched up. I mean, just beating him to death. He's got that wing back in. Jeepers creepers.
Now it just comes down to, can Burke get the pin? 1 minute to go here in the second period. He's been riding out Ross the whole period. Has not been able to get him turned as of yet, but continuing to work.
Yeah, and this is kind of frustrating. Sometimes when you're on top, you go through there, you're glad the official's going to restart him in a stalemate. You're glad that happened, Doug, because sometimes you just ride that tough. You burn your gas tank up, and all of a sudden you get to the end of the period, and nothing's happened. It's still only 5-0.
So they'll restart with 50 seconds to go in the period. With Burke on top, a caution to Colton for illegal start. And again, next, it's Logan Dibbern against Corey Rouse and Devin Dibbern against Blake Walters. Which one should be better?
Oh, the 152-pound match by a long ways.
Devin, the fourth, third, third. Walters, second, second, first.
Yeah, looking for 4 trips to the finals.
It's always nice to know where you're going to be Saturday afternoons at the Devaney, or at the, we're here at the Devaney now at the CenturyLink.
That was a good little Freudian slip. It's been so long, we don't even have it anymore.
Yeah.
It's you mess up and call it Quest.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
Just kind of laying there on the bottom right now is Ross. He knows he's in a little bit of trouble, and he sees that the clock is 15 seconds, 10 seconds, 8 seconds, 4 seconds, and he's going to get out of this period with no points. No points scored as he was turned over with time expired. We go to the third period. Colton Burke, 5-0 lead over Caleb Ross. Amherst with the lead, and he has decided to take bottom.
I'm actually surprised there. I saw Tyler look at him and ask him where he wanted to go. I'm surprised they didn't take top. I think I would have chose top there. In 150 years, Ross is never going to get out, and you just get a chance to keep working on him. How do you know Ross doesn't have some special secret ninja move that he can pin you with, you know?
He's out to the side right away off the whistle. Trying to work it from the offensive O'Neal side. Ooh, gets the wrist. And a good start here to the period for O'Neal and Caleb Ross.
Yeah, he's doing a good job here.
But now Burke will come to his feet, rip it away, and get the escape. So it's 6-0. Burke 6-0, and if he can get that takedown, then he'll be up to a major decision, an extra team point.
Yeah, and I think I still will say this, that it is somewhat of a matter of I think if O'Neal has to get bonus of any kind in one of those final two matches, that could be tough for them. But
30-26 with three matches to go. That includes this one that O'Neal is in control of with Colton Burke. A minute to go in the match. He's up 6-0. Wrestling on their feet towards the edge of the mat. Ooh, going for the throw and taking a chance. It's Caleb Ross. Nothing comes out of it yet.
Oh, he's close to getting two. He needs a hustle here. Oh, no. He just stopped wrestling.
And will he be taken down? Yes, he will.
Yeah, he just stopped wrestling right on the edge, Doug.
Burt gets the takedown on the edge of the mat. They come off. 36 seconds to go. That makes it 8-0 and an extra point here for Amherst if they can keep that 8-point lead.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting out. I'm not so sure Berg won't turn him again.
See how hard he does work from the top here too, Larry.
Yeah, I think so. He goes right to that tight waist wing, and he'll work that tight waist wing into a wing wrist. These transitions are really good. He looks strong too, Doug. You don't know sometimes, again, these kids coming up and things are coming down in weight, but Berg does look strong. Oh, he's got both wings now. 13 seconds left. At the very least, he's going to put a bunch of pain in old Caleb Ross.
He's going to get some bonus points. Will he get the pin? 5 seconds. Not going to get the pin, but he's going to win it by a score of 11-0. Colton Burke, 11. And Caleb Ross of O'Neal, nothing. 4 more points here for Amherst, 34-26. So, 8 points is what O'Neal needs to tie, 9 to win. That almost means they need a win by pin in one of these two matches. And now, 145, top-ranked Corey Rouse, 29-28-41 wins. He was fifth last year. And Logan Dibbern, third, fourth, second, the runner-up, and two of his losses to Seabady. And a takedown here for Rouse, and he's just going to let him up.
The dynamite job. He went with a overhook fireman's for the takedown. And Dibbern just comes right back off the escape, smothers the deep double, and finishes. It's 3-2, Dibbern.
On the edge of the mat they are. And now quickly popping up for the escape will be Corey Rouse. And now, wow, look at a move here. Headgear comes off. They're going to blow the whistle and stop it. Look at these guys get after
it. Hey, remember the reference I used earlier about throwing two dryers in a singlet?
Or two singlets in a dryer?
Singlets in a dryer? You're watching it right here. Rouse comes right back to that overhook fireman's, and that's getting to where maybe you can't tie up with him.
So do you end up seeing a 14-13 match or somebody getting stuck in something like this?
Somebody very well could get turned in this thing.
There's the takedown for Logan Dibbern on the double.
Now, these guys have too much defense. At some point, somebody will shut that off, and they'll catch somebody.
A minute to go.
Oh, this could be tough. Dibbern had a Turk there. He had the leg Turked off the double leg, and he almost got back points off of it. Do you see the difference in pace here? Like, just even from either side, but Amherst is very tough here.
45 seconds trying to stack him up, and instead Rouse rolls through. He'll get the escape. It makes it 5-4 out of bounds. Restart in the middle, both up. 33 seconds, 5-4, first period in favor of Logan Dibbern. And on the other side, if Dibbern gets the win here, then Amherst wins the duel.
Yeah. Oh, right there it is, Doug.
Rouse throws him to his back. And Dibbern able to swing through with just a 2-point near fall. That is so just man on man, big boy. And he's on his back again. Dibbern's in real trouble.
Big trouble. He's got both legs in, straight on.
And he's pinned. And number one, Corey Rouse of O'Neal pins Logan Dibbern of Amherst, and they've got a chance to win the duel. It's 34-32. All O'Neal has to do is win the final match.
Yeah, Doug, this was the deal you talked about a minute ago, and these deals most generally end that way. When two guys are going to go out, and even though it's high-level wrestling, when they start doing the crappie flop like that, at some point somebody's going to end up on their back. This is the match everybody came to this duel to see, and as you hoped for, as you talked about earlier, the entire duel is going to come down to the match of the day.
So what do both bring? What do both wrestlers bring? What will be the difference?
Hey, they just watched what went on. They need to come out and slow it down, wrestle a little different, but I don't know that Bryce Dibbern has it in him. He is a mean mean, tough guy. He's a bull rider. He's a bulldogger, a roper, all that stuff, and I mean very real. And he wrestles that way in a very tough way. Blake Walters, been to the finals three times. He's a state champion. Very hard to get out of position.
38-1 last year for Walters, 44-3 for Dibbern, 44-2 as a sophomore, 36-5 as a freshman.
Dibbern wants to beat you up, and his whole thing is sometimes he needs to remember that the guy with the most points at the end of the match wins, not the guy that beat the guy up the most, and he does. He's a very physical guy. He wants to beat you up.
Walters, 37-6 as a freshman, 37-6 as a sophomore, 38-1 as a junior. The dual score is 34-32. Didn't expect it to come down to this the way it has here, Larry.
No doubt about it. Amherst and O'Neill here have really put on a show, and O'Neill has wrestled very well today. Coach Corkle had him ready to go.
The New West postgame show coming up. We'll recap all of the results in case you missed them. But right now, back and forth we go. Scoreless first minute in our final match.
Yeah, you know, Devin just watched his twin brother get pinned. You know, I mean, that will affect you. You're just not sure sometimes which direction. But your biggest fear was that they'd start the duel here and the duel would be over by the time we got to these big matches. You know, everybody's gotten what they wanted here. These last two matches have meant the most, and here we go. With Amherst at 34, O'Neill 32, and the two biggest studs in either lineup are out there in the center of the mat.
Seven wins for Amherst, six wins for O'Neill. And how big is that win at 195 right now for Jacob Martinson going to the tiebreaker?
Yeah, that's the difference.
We would have had a three-point swing, and the winner of this still would have won the duel, but it does make a big, big difference. And it looks like we're going to end up with a scoreless first period. Will we have any problem with either one of these guys just starting on bottom?
Yeah, Devin Dibbern can absolutely ride you to death. He's a master at getting cheap points. Walter says, I am not afraid of you. I don't care what your reputation is and what you've done. I'm going down. Most guys don't do that.
Yeah. And Blake Walters, again, if he can score off bottom, if you go all the way, think maybe this ends up being a 1-1 or a 3-3 type of overtime, and you get deep enough, then he'll have the opportunity to choose if we got all the way to the ultimate tiebreaker. But, boy, you're right. Even against the defending state champion, Devin Dibbern's off to a good start on top here in the second period.
He runs that tight waist, and it's like somebody just putting a belt around you and cinching it up. And, look, he's gone a half. He's gone tilt. He's gone wing. I mean, he is like a leech on top.
And Walters comes to his feet, but he's taken right back down to the mat by Devin Dibbern. They're on the edge, and we have our first blood of the entire duel. And unfortunately,
it's on the side of his face. I think, Doug, I saw him down there. It looked like they stuck his face on a cheese grater yesterday at some point. The side of his face is all black and blue and scratched up, probably from that match. You know, we should say here, you know, this isn't the first tough match for him this week. He had to beat the defending state champion yesterday in Zumaya Baptista from Friend in the finals at Wood River, 1-0, tight meat grinding match.
We will take a break. Be back with more of the Capital City Clash Amherst O'Neill duel right after this on Classic Hits.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
Sure, you know Fanatics is a great place to watch the game and have great food. But Fanatics is also the perfect place for your holiday party. Their new party room could be set up for an intimate gathering or a company Christmas party for up to 100. Order straight from the menu, or Fanatics will customize a meal for you and your guests. Enjoy your privacy, or join the fun with everybody else at Fanatics. Fanatics does birthday and graduation parties, too. Holiday parties are more fun with Fanatics. Fanatics, a block north of the tracks on Central Avenue in Kearney.
We're back with you at the Devaney Center and Lincoln, the final duel, and it comes down to the team title, and it comes down to two outstanding wrestlers. They've got the blood cleaned up. Devin Dibbern continuing to ride Blake Walters of O'Neill. Scoreless, no points in the first period, and nobody's been able to get anything here in the second period, Laird.
No, and he's riding him tough as Devin Dibbern. He's got Walters broke down flat on his belly, and he's got his arm behind his back, and he just dug a deep wing in. Now you're going to watch him go with that, sink that deep, tight waist. He's going to try to capture the wrist, Doug. If you can see him, he's got the wing. He's going to capture the wrist, and he's going to look to tilt him. He's going to use that wing and wrist there as leverage.
20 seconds is all that remains, though, here in the second period.
Back-to-back matches, Devin Dibbern has to face returning state champions.
And Blake Walters now doesn't look so much like he's trying to get out. He's avoiding getting turned, and that's
yeah, he's trying to survive, Doug.
There was some movement, and now trying to get him tilted here, but short time. He's going to run out of time. We'll go to the third period. Devin, no doubt.
Absolutely. You win the same way he won last night against Jumiah Baptista of Friend. It was the exact same scenario. He goes down in the third period and actually got out late. It took a little bit. Walters himself, very good on top. Devin has been ridden in his career.
So he is able to do what you thought he could do in the second period, ride out the defending state champion, Blake Walters, and no points. 0-0. It's up to Devin Dibbern to get off bottom. What about a possibility of Walters tipping him, turning him?
Yeah, no, I could see that, Doug. Walters is dynamite on top. He's really good, and right now, same situation you described a minute ago with Walters, Dibbern isn't trying to get out right now. He's trying to not give up back points. And when you're trying to survive, that's a different deal than trying to score.
Yeah, anybody gets tilted here, and he has turned. He has turned. No, Dibbern, the count is on.
They're all one count so far. They're all one counts, but he's in trouble. They're all one counts. There's no points. It takes two.
Walters trying to get him turned again. It's very close. O'Neill calling for it. Amherst saying no, the official saying no, and now back towards his belly, and Walters is going to have to readjust if he wants to turn him again.
Well, that took guts. That took guts by Dibbern there. Dibbern needs a fresh start. Dibbern needs a fresh start here so he can – he's got to use these restarts, explode off the whistle.
But they are on the edge of the mat, but not close to going off the mat because they are facing towards the center. And look at Walters readjust. He actually readjusts everything.
Yeah, he completely reset himself there. Boy, he's tough. I think you could – I mean, this is borderline stalling in the sense that he's covering his hips.
35 seconds to go. Still scoreless. Third period. The official does – in Weisdorfer does say – we haven't mentioned Eric enough here today, but he does take the whistle out and say keep moving or get off the hips. 20 seconds to go, and he's got him turned again. He might get the count. No. Dibbern got through there quickly. How about this?
Yeah, this is a just incredible match. Dibbern, he's trying to snake his hips across, Doug. And if Dibbern can snake his hips – oh, Walters just jammed his boot in there and ended that dream.
And that is the end of regulation. 0-0. Blake Walters, Devin Dibbern, and remember, the winner of this individual match will give his team the dual championship, 34-32, and we go to overtime.
The whole duel is in overtime right now. Caution, Dibbern. Tried to shoot a low single off the whistle.
And explain overtime. First points here, win.
First point here wins. 1 minute, sudden victory. And then we go to the tiebreakers. And if we get there, we'll explain those.
And Walters looks really fresh on top after riding the whole third period there. First weak shot by Dibbern.
And his career, Doug, he's gotten frustrated in these spots. Sometimes Dibbern takes a bad shot or gets launched like he did against Sundrup. He's got to be careful not to do that here.
And there is a near takedown. Dibbern now. Walters adjusts. Who's going to get the takedown? Walters in charge.
Dibbern's got to keep scooting his hip. He needs to scoot his hip, Doug.
27 seconds. He's still scooting. He's taken down, and O'Neill wins. And O'Neill wins the duel 35-34.
That was a great job. Dibbern was in good position. He needed to keep scooting his hip. Great job to the O'Neill Eagles. They showed up today, Doug, and wrestled passion, physical. They got after it. Look at the O'Neill fans here, man. They're fired up.
Well, that was what we talked about today in our preview. That's what we talked about in our preview match show today from 1 to 2, is that the fire-up seemed to be on O'Neill's side using that underdog role, and they won it 35-34. And, Larry, this is the best high school duel that they have ever had ahead of a Nebraska match. They've all been blowouts. They've all been, except maybe one, have just been tortured at Scutt and Grand Island and Kearney and whoever else has been here winning those duels. This was a one-point duel with both of the top-ranked O'Neill wrestlers winning.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a, you know, like you say, it's a great duel, but it's a great duel with great wrestling right down to the end. That wasn't some shoddy old wrestling. I mean, that's high-level Saturday late afternoon, third week of February stuff.
We will come back, get our reaction, because I'm a little bit shocked. Not every day do you cover a sporting event that you come away a little bit surprised, but I am right now, and you don't see Amherst get defeated very often, and congratulations, O'Neill, a huge win here today, and we'll see how jovial the fans are when they get together for the post game. Everything was friendly beforehand, and I'm sure it will be afterwards, but I think you're going to get a majority of the folks saying, I wasn't sure we could win. I wasn't sure how this would go. Well, I thought we were going to get this and this, but there wasn't anything overly crazy, but O'Neill did get a major decision from Bailey Thompson that was big at 182 pounds. And then you get the Jason Hallback surprise pin over Peyton Shockey. There's a couple of matches. That's probably ends up being, from the non-ranked wrestlers, the biggest win of the day for O'Neill.
Doug, the difference still in this whole thing. Well, first I'll say, when you said get together for the party after, I said to my wife earlier today, that stuff, like wrestling is the one sport, it's great to have the pre-event deal. Wrestling's the one sport you probably shouldn't get together afterwards with the fans. But I just will say, it doesn't look like it because, you know, everybody's going to want to talk about 145, 152 pounds. This thing finished the way you said it would in the beginning. Those big-time matches are all coin flips. Wrestle them six times. It goes 3-3 the way those go. This thing was won by O'Neill's middle-of-the-road guys wrestling great. That's where this duel was won.
We'll have more coming up. Stay with us here on Classic Hits and PlatteRiverPreps.com.
Ryan Trampy is a very proud supporter of all area sports. Ever wonder what sets Channel Seed products apart from other seed? It's a direct connection to Monsanto, a company consistently recognized as a leader in seed and trait technology. Tested globally, locally, and then combined with the latest traits and treatments to ensure performance potential on your acres. Thanks to the farmers, Channel Seed is now the third largest seed corn brand and fourth largest soybean seed brand in the country. Best of luck to all the athletes today from Ryan Trampy, your Channel Seed dealer.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
If you're a grower looking for big yields, start with Pioneer brand Y-Series soybeans. And don't forget to ask your Pioneer sales professional about the Pioneer premium seed treatment options that can help your soybeans stand up to the toughest growing conditions. Why go anywhere else for your entire soybean seed needs? To learn more about seed treatment options for your farm, contact Craig Weegis, local Pioneer sales representative today. Pioneer, science with service, delivering success.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college, and that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people, and they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Well, you got wrestling fans from around the area. Seen some from Ravenna and Kearney, and you mentioned a few, Larry, as well, from places that you have come across, that it's time now for our New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery post-match show. Certified and fellowship-trained physicians providing a superior standard of care with no referral necessary. No matter the activity, New West is here to get you back to it. Schedule your appointment today. The final score of the duel, O'Neill 35, Amherst 34. It went 7-7 in... I guess all along I just thought Amherst was going to end up here. I just didn't seem O'Neill had quite all of those bonus points.
No, Doug, and the thing is where this thing turns is Brant Florell trying to do the snake choke, losing and then losing the point, then going over, saying something, not putting his foot on the line, whatever, losing the point. This thing at the very least is a draw if that doesn't happen. You know, Peyton Shockey, I mean, I can tell you, and I saw Tyler – all but run out of here, extremely upset. He was slapping his hands together, you know, not happy on the way out of here. And this is an interesting situation. In previous years, I would say this will have served Amherst very well because they are a tough team. They're a well-coached team. They'll take the coaching well. I don't know with this team, and I really mean that. I'm not saying the sky's falling. I'm sure they're going to win a state championship. But you've got a bunch of guys on this team, Doug, that want to win state championships themselves, not a team state championship. This thing is, wrestling is still an individual sport. They will wake up in the middle of the night, one of those Divern boys or both of them, if they don't win a state championship for the rest of their lives once a week if they don't win one. They'll never sleep good because we won for when I was in high school as a team. Trust me, this will hurt, and we'll see which way it pushes them.
It is it's always an interesting sport. It's always interesting to see. And you know what? Again, Amherst hasn't tasted defeat for a number of years. Tournaments, they don't do a whole lot of duels at the Class D level as far as events like you're seeing now in the A and B where you can get together and have a lot of dual tournaments. So this hasn't happened to them very much.
No, I would say Syracuse, maybe not last year, but the year before, maybe at the Wood River dual deal. I mean, it's probably been something like that in the last year or two. Last year, clearly no. Probably it was the year before. Maybe they got beat by Syracuse, I think. It has been a while since they've lost something. And so it'll be interesting to see how they react.
We will take a break and be back with more on the New West postgame show from the Devaney Center after the Capital City clash goes to O'Neill 35-34. Back in a moment.
Town & Country Bank is truly your hometown bank. We've been serving the central Nebraska region since 1905. We currently have offices in the communities of Ravenna, Pleasanton, Kearney, and Litchfield. Town & Country Bank is locally owned and managed. We pride ourselves in serving you through exceptional personal service. We also strive to offer you the latest in technological advancements. Stop by and visit with us about your financial needs or just to chat. The hometown bank with a big interest in serving you. We are Town & Country Bank.
I'm a Ford guy. My dad was a Ford guy, and so was my dad's dad. But more to the point, I'm a Crossroads Ford guy. The pickup my dad used to teach me to drive came from Crossroads. The Ford my son will learn to drive comes from Crossroads, too. Why have I stuck by them? Because they've stuck by us. From regular maintenance to the repairs when the driving lessons don't go very well, Crossroads has earned our trust. Their family has always taken care of our family. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
This sports broadcast is made possible in part by Kappa Grain in Elm Creek. Did you know that Kappa has a way for you to save time, money, and get the best prices for your grain and have records of it? With their online offer center powered by DNT MarketSpace. See KappaGrains.com. Make sure you're getting what you deserve for all your hard work and dedication. Kappa takes great pride in doing what they can to make it easier, faster, and more profitable for you. Best of luck to all the area athletes from Kappa Grains.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game, from swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back. See Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
And we are back here at the Bob Devaney Sports Center analyzing the matches on our New West postgame show. And, Larry, man, we've mentioned two or three or four already. There are a ton of matches. We found out that the reason in the Brant Florell match, he had three cautions. That third one then dinged him. So on the restart, he got dinged again.
Yeah, and that's what it is and you've got to be smart enough to understand that and know that where you're at in that situation.
And then Caden Moore, you know, that's a 2-2 match into the third period, and Moore ends up getting a pin instead of just winning at the 5:38 mark.
Yeah, no, this is one of those spots that, I mean, and I'm going to say this, I want to make sure I come across the right way. This is a lot about what Amherst didn't do, but O'Neill was prepared. You know, Vince Lombardi said it, right? If success was a mathematical equation, it would read, when preparation meets opportunity, that's what equals success. O'Neill was prepared today. They came here to win. And so when each one of those opportunities came up, bang, away they go. And they came away with a big win. This will do more for them than it will hurt Amherst. This could be one of those things that O'Neill needs to vault itself up over the top. That and not having David City have a couple move-ins.
Yeah. Well, we will see how the year progresses, because both of these teams will be right towards the top of their podiums as we get to Omaha at the end of February, and then probably in Kearney as well. Obviously, we'll see both of these teams in the state dual competition. And I'll tell you what, if you can score like you did today against this competition, I don't know who you face that is going to be any better than these guys faced today.
The one thing I'll tell you about O'Neill looks deeper than I thought, Doug. Their middle-of-the-road guys are better than I thought they were.
Well, they showed it today and got some key wins to win the match. And, again, coming up here in just about a half an hour, Nebraska will take on Wisconsin as part of the double duel here today. We are hoping to get a chance to talk with Tyler Herman. Let's recap what happened here today. And in case you missed any of the results, we'll look at them right now. We started, Larry, and if you've got one or two that you want to bring up as we move along, sure chime right on in here. But we started at 160 pounds, which then did give us our exciting finish here at the end. And it was Colin Dibbern of Amherst, a win by pin in 240 over Coy Shaw of O'Neill. Then you had David Fox, the third of the three number one ranked wrestlers. He goes out and makes quick work of Jacob Klingelhofer, who is a pretty good wrestler, but he pins him in 124.
Yeah, and David Fox looked big at 70. I mean, just big and tough.
He had been in the Parade of Champions the last 2 years, second and first. Then Bailey Thompson comes out, the sophomore from O'Neill, a 13-0 major decision over first-year varsity wrestler Dane Bogard of Amherst. Just did what he had to do. Bogard never really had much offense. He wrestled okay and never was in too big a danger of getting pinned, but just a lot of takedowns and a lot of work from their feet.
Yeah, Bogard actually showed that he's going to be a pretty good wrestler, I think.
Then you threw down to the big boys at 195, Jacob Martinson, at the time going into the tiebreaker, winning in the second tiebreaker with some excitement. There was actually a tech point for locked hands there that made it 3-2. Usually you get into that tiebreaker, one guy escapes, the other guy escapes, you each pick a point. If you can get more than one point in your 30 seconds, you're usually going to win, and that's what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we had stalling calls and a technical violation.
So 3-2, the tiebreaker, Jacob Martinson of Amherst over Chance Scholes of O'Neill. And then Jason Hallbeck with a very impressive performance. He comes out. Not only did he get the pin, but he pretty much dominated Peyton Shockey, as you mentioned, and you never know the backstory. He just didn't look like he was 100% on his game. The young man that won 40 matches last year and finished fourth at state lost to a sophomore that was under 500 last year, but Hallbeck got him and threw him and got him in a 438 pin.
It was really interesting. He just controlled the whole match. It looked like Peyton Shockey was in trouble the whole way through, and at the very end, you're exactly right, Doug. Hallbeck comes through with a pin. That was one I think they thought, you know, that really could have been a 12-point swing in this duel, because that's one I think they probably assumed they would get, Amherst, I'm saying, would get 4-6 in.
Yeah, no doubt a win, and it did not happen. And then Tanner Hercock, we went heavyweight 6-13, and it didn't take, you couldn't have went and got a soda and come back. You'd have missed all three, because Tanner Hercock got the takedown over Bryce Madsen, an ex-basketball player for O'Neill, now he's out of for wrestling, and Hurcock pins him in 117. Then it got quicker at 106. The freshman, Trace Bosch, an 18-second pin for Amherst over Cody Watson of O'Neill. You didn't think it could get any quicker? Well, right off the whistle, Braden Cumston, the sophomore for Amherst, gets a 7-second pin over first-year freshman Jacob Donnelly, and that turned the lead to 27-16 for Amherst, and they seem to be in good shape right there.
Well, yeah, they seem to be in great shape when you got Kalen Klingelhofer and Peyton Cumston coming right behind them.
And then Caden Moore in that very close match, 2-2 in the third period, and Moore gets a pin for the big 6 points and wins it by pin in 5:38 over Cumston, who was the third-place medalist last year for Amherst. Then Kalen Klingelhofer comes back, and, you know, there's another one there. You're taking on a Quintero kid that is an okay wrestler, and he really wrestled well. He wrestled well from his feet. He had 2 takedowns and a couple of reverses in there for Klingelhofer, but he only won the match 8-4 and didn't get bonus points. I mean, he finished third last year. You kind of thought maybe he would win by bonus points and did not. And in a one-point duel, we've already talked about 6 or 7 matches that you could find that 1 point.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and Kalen, you know, and that can happen sometimes. You get a win maybe, but don't look great. I can tell you at 120 pounds, this thing really turned on that because Peyton Cumston looked to me, the whole match was controlling it. Caden Moore looked very polished and looked good, but maybe out of his league a little bit. And as that thing went on, I thought we'd see Caden Moore fade. What we saw was Peyton Cumston fade. Caden Moore just kept staying in good position. And then, oh my goodness, not only does he win the match, but he does it with a pin.
And so that closed it to 27-22, then 30-22 after Kalen Klingelhofer got the win. Then John Marvin beats Brant Florell. He gets a couple of points very late for a 10-2 victory over Florell, so they get the extra point for the major decision. Then it is Colton Burke. As expected, he took care of Caleb Ross. But again, it was 11-0. It wasn't a tech fall. It wasn't a pin. He dominated it, but Caleb Ross able to do enough to not get pinned and wrestle the 6 minutes.
Well, yeah, and he almost turns him how many times? Just absolutely tortured Ross, but wasn't able to put him away.
Yeah, he had the double chicken wing in tight twice at the end of the second and also in the third period. So it was 34-26. Those were the last points Amherst would score because then Corey Rouse and Logan Dibbern, I wish they would have wrestled 6 minutes the way the first 45 seconds of the match went, because it's takedown, escape, takedown, back, escape, takedown, reversal, near fall. Here we go. And it only took 53 seconds. Corey Rouse wins by pin, who finished fifth last year, but is preseason number one over the state runner-up, Logan Dibbern. And so it's a two-point match. And then Blake Walters, no score in the first, second, third period. In fact, Devin Dibbern had to do everything he could over the last 45 seconds of the third period to not get turned, as he was on bottom and he didn't get turned, but it was very close. There was a stroke in there, but not the two count. And then it went into overtime, and Blake Walters able to get the victory.
Yeah, yeah. In those two spots, Doug, what you had was a situation where just kind of quit wrestling. Devin Dibbern, if he just – he's in good position. If he just keeps scooting with his hip, he's gonna survive but probably score there and be okay. But I thought the Logan Dibbern match, you know, people are going to look at that, people 50-whatever-second pin, and go, wow, you know, Rouse just went out and crushed him. They're not going to understand that that thing was, you know, I mean, a very real – high technical match. Dibbern needed to be smart enough to try to just slow the thing down a little bit.
We do have, and that makes the final score 35-34. We do have head coach Tyler Herman. It takes a little work to get to the floor to our broadcast position, and he is making his way as we see him right now. So we'll take a break. We'll be back with the Amherst Head Wrestling Coach as we continue on the New West postgame show after this.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
For all your custom slaughtering and meat processing, call Belschner Custom Meats in Amherst. Belschner Custom Meats has everything you need to fill your freezer with locally raised beef and pork. From steaks, roast, and hamburger, why go anywhere else when you have the best meat right here in Amherst? Belschner is a very proud supporter of all of our youth and their accomplishments. Good luck to all the area athletes in and out of the game.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
There's a lot of talk and worry about insurances these days. And a question like, is my doctor in network with Blue Cross Blue Shield is far too common. New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery wants to let you know that we are and will continue to be in network with Blue Cross Blue Shield, along with many other insurances. With items like on-site x-ray, MRI, and casting and bracing, New West has what it takes to take care of you. Call New West Sports Medicine to schedule your appointment today. No referral necessary.
And welcome back to the New West Sports and Orthopedic Surgery post-game show here on Classic Hits 98.9. We are joined by the head coach of the Amherst Broncos, Tyler Herman. And, Coach, everybody's in good spirits. It's fun. The whole thing's great. And then it comes down to a one-point loss. And we talked about the Amherst Broncos haven't really experienced a whole lot of being on the wrong end for a while. It was everything around it is great, but I know you guys wanted to win. Just your thoughts right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We wanted to win the duel. You know, it's a great experience for the kids, but bottom line, we want to come out here and beat the number two team in Class C, and we had our chances. We had plenty of chances to take care of them. I told the kids all week long, I said, it's probably going to come down to bonus points, okay, whether we're getting them or not giving them up, and we gave up way too many bonus points today. I could think of three weights off the top of my head that matches we could have won, or at the very worst, maybe lost a decision, a close match, and gave up three. But instead, we're giving up six and six and six. You know, you take away 9 points, we win the duel. And then the bonus points just killed us at the end of the day, matches that we could have won and should have won, and we didn't finish them. And I told the boys in the locker room after the duel, I said, really? I said, honestly, it came down to mental toughness. I said, in certain situations, they were mentally tougher than us, and that cost us the duel. You know, I said at the end, Devin tried to bail us out. He wrestled his heart out and was close to taking down Walters at the end. That's a heck of a match, but, you know, it should have never really came down to that.
How many of those real close matches, and Larry and I think, what did we count, seven of them one way or the other, whether O'Neill did it or Amherst didn't or vice versa, that there could have been bonus points one way or the other. How much of that, and Larry brought it up early about some of the O'Neill kids would have to go out and wrestle not to get pinned, and that's a whole different deal in duel. So how much of that was trying to win the individual match and getting beat, and how much of it was they just weren't in position, as I guess, if that's the best way to say it?
Well, you know, there's situations where, you know, we had the matches in hand, and we need to look for bonus points, you know, and we didn't get those in some of them. You know, I'm looking at 126. We needed to get bonus, and we didn't do it. You know, that's one that we were expecting to get a bonus. And honestly, looking back at 220, I thought that was a match we'd win. And we get pinned. You know, that's a 9-point swing. You know, it should have been at least three for us and a six for them. And you just cannot do that in a dual atmosphere. You cannot do that in a dual setting. And those are the things that really hurt. You know, I thought Colton Berg got that major at 138. I thought, okay, that's what we need. They obviously, Corey Rouse did a nice job at 45. He knew they needed a pin. You could tell from the first 2 seconds of the match, he was trying to pin him. He knew, get a pin and put it in Walter's hands. And, you know, in Logan's defense, he wrestled his heart out. I mean, like Larry said earlier, he just needed to slow the pace of that match down a little bit. But, you know, looking back at this, watching film, you know, I'm sick about it right now to my stomach, and I'm going to be sick about it for the rest of the year probably. I don't mind losing, but I'd probably rather get shut out than to lose like the way we did today. Just little things that killed us.
Well, I think one of the things, Tyler, that I'd like, and this somewhat is today in a dual format, but really kind of in a sense looking down the road, How has this been? Because we saw a result today that maybe could be part of this. This is an interesting Amherst team as I look at it. Defending five-time state champions on paper. We have all this craziness, right? There's 18 state medals on this team, you know, total, all this kind of stuff. Zero returning state champions. Only one wrestler on this team has ever walked in the Parade of Champions. It's been a long time since Amherst has been in that situation under your tutelage. And I guess the question I have is, how different, in a sense, has that been in the room? You have a room full of guys that have just, I know they've won state championships every year they've been in high school as a team, but they've had their hearts crushed and broken at the end of their season. And some of them are looking at this down the light at the end of the tunnel is the train. It's over. I don't get another chance after February. How has that been preparing in the early part of this season? And do we have any did today's result have anything to do with anything like that? Because would you agree, this is a little different team.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, Larry. This is a lot different team than what we've had, you know, even the last couple years. Just the makeup is different, and we're looking for some guys to step up that haven't necessarily, you know, been in that situation before. You know, we've got some kids in the lineup this year that we're expecting big things out of, and they need to produce. You know, it's difficult, and maybe some of the kids are feeling that pressure. You know, they haven't had that shiny gold medal yet from Omaha. And like you said, they see, all right, this is it. You know, this is my last chance. I've been there three times. I got three medals, but none of them are the gold one. You know, as far as the work goes in the room, it's been great. They've been working hard. But like I told them in the locker room, if you expect anything to change come mid-February, things have got to change. If you want to have that gold medal and be on top of the podium, things have got to change. You can't keep doing the things that you've been doing. I think you're going to get the same result. And that might be a silver or bronze or whatever it is. I said, things have to change. Take a good look in the mirror and figure out what you want. You want to be a state champion, or are you okay with fifth and sixth? Okay. As a team, we have enough depth, and there's not a lot of depth in Class D this year. But, you know, we want gold medals. I told Ross Halford from Husker Mat in a preview a couple weeks ago, I said, we want individual state champions. We don't have any of them, like you said. We don't have any returning state champs. That's what we want. But it's going to take – something's got to change in the room, on the mat, whatever it is. When we get in a tough match, we've got to be mentally tougher, and we got to pull out the win.
Last couple minutes here with Tyler Herman, and because I know they want to at least enjoy the Nebraska-Wisconsin duel. So it's a short turnaround holiday break. You've got to next weekend still. Where does it start? When you guys take that breath, have 48 hours, get back in the practice room Monday, what do you address?
Well, the first thing is mental toughness. And I've said that a couple of times, but I told my assistants in the locker room today, I said, Monday is a mental toughness practice. That's what I'm calling it. The old Dan Gable, Larry, what would he call it? A black flag
that
practice.
That's exactly right. We used to hang the old red flag in the locker room. We're going to grind you today until you break. It's your choice. You can break and walk away, or break and let's go win.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's going to be. You make the choice, because right now in some of these tough matches, we're making the choice not to push through and get the win. You know, something's got to change mentality-wise, I think. So I said, we're going to have a mental toughness practice that we know what to do technically. Okay, we know where we need to be. But mentally, we got to get a lot mentally tougher, I guess is the best way to put it. And I keep saying it. But that was what we talked about in the locker room today with the boys after the duel. And that's what it's going to take to win the big matches in Omaha. So we better start getting used to it right now. And I tell you what, we got one at Sutherland next week. We got Wood River Duels. We got our invite. And here we are again, January 17th, at the Midwest Duels at the Fairgrounds in another duel setting. Are we going to give up bonus points again? Or are we going to win those matches this time? You know, so we'll have our chance again in this type of setting to see what we got. But, you know, there's some question marks right now. But I think come the end of the year, I have a lot of confidence in the kids. I do have a lot of confidence in them. And I told them that in the locker room, too, when we were done visiting. I said, I have a ton of confidence in you guys. I know you can do it. But it's got to start now. You can't wait till mid-January and say, okay, now I'm going to flip the switch. Here we go. No, it starts right here and now.
This is the fun part. I think you will admit this, as awful as you feel right now. And I know it. I can see it in your eyeballs. It's awful. But would you not agree this is why you do this? Because you get to now go to work Monday. You get to go challenge somebody. And I have a tremendous amount of confidence in you and your staff. You've always been able to make people better. You know, if we start here, we'll finish here. We're never the same. You've always been able to do that. But truthfully now, this is why you do this. Because in a sense, doesn't that feel good to have that challenge? Like, we're going to show up Monday, and I'm going to make sure that I go to bed Monday night a better man than I was when I went to bed on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why we schedule something like this. Because win or lose, it's going to make us better. And I think hopefully we have a lot more fire and hunger because of something like this. Better for something like this to happen now than mid-February. And, you know, I think it opened a lot of boys' eyes. Hey, I need to make some changes. I need to start picking it up a little bit if I want to be where I want to be come mid-February. So, you know, bottom line is, it like you said, it hurts. I feel like I got kicked in the gut about 100 times right now. But in the end, I hope we learn from it. I hope it makes us better. You know, like I told the boys, you can't win a state title on December 13th in Lincoln, but you can win one the third week in February in Omaha. I said, so we got 2 months to correct things and make things right. And I know we got a bunch of hardworking kids, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to get back after it Monday, and we're going to get better each and every week.
Tyler, we'll say thank you. This was a great event, and I know this will spur O'Neill. I know it will spur you guys on. We will see you again. Obviously, it's your invite after the holidays, district, state. It's always great watching you guys. And, Larry, the one thing is, they're the five-time defending state champions, and you can still see the passion that this program has. That's what it is about being a winner and wanting to stay on top, and you see it here today. Tyler, we'll let you go so you can be with the kids and watch the duel. And, hey, let's end it with Merry Christmas, all right?
It sounds good. And I just want to say thanks to you guys for promoting this duel for the past month, being here today for the pre-match gathering at Heidelberg's, and then here broadcasting this duel. That's awesome for you guys to come here and be a part of this and really promote this duel and give everybody that wasn't here a chance to listen and be a part of it as well. So thanks a lot to you guys, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Great event. Tyler Herman, head coach of the Amherst Broncos. We'll take a final break. Wrap it up for the Devaney Center after this.
5 Points Bank. We're proud our bankers have the ability to take care of customers in the Kearney area. One of our bank's true differences is our bankers have a true Kearney connection, important in providing the best in banking. Our staff is proud to have lived in Kearney for years. Many have been lifelong residents. Having a true Kearney connection means caring and being involved in the community and committed to making banking work for the people of Kearney. Bank with 5 Points Bank. The better bank. The bank with a true Kearney connection. Good things will happen.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
The 3Ls of PlatteRiverPreps.com. Log on for info on all your favorite teams with links to articles organized by school and sport. Listen to any of the radio broadcasts on our 5 Platte River radio stations and download podcasts to past events. And like us on Facebook to get select pictures and breaking news of high school sports going on. Platte River Preps, your one-stop source for high school sporting news, covering over 100 teams across the state of Nebraska. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com.
NewTek is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put NewTek's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark of Cutting Edge Seed and Chemicals at 750-6060. That's 750-6060. Or visit NewTek at yieldleader.com.
The undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Welcome back to the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show. We want to thank all the many fine sponsors from the Amherst area and throughout the area that always continue to support high school wrestling and high school sports. We will get the bouncing balls back out on Tuesday as Kearney Catholic is at Ravenna for a doubleheader here on Classic Hits, getting underway at approximately 6 o'clock. Kearney High Basketball is currently airing on ESPN 1460 and 1550 as they are hosting Millard South. Again, 7-7, came down to bonus points, 35-34 O'Neill upsets, and that's what I will continue to call it, upsets Amherst. But great job, O'Neill. Congratulations, O'Neill. If you're on the other side of this, Larry, how great is it to be an O'Neill Eagle today? You lose, I mean, 1 point from state title last year, so close in the duels. They've been climbing. They're good. Their program, as we mentioned in the pre-match show earlier today, Amherst is on top of the mountain. O'Neill's trying to get there, and this is a big step.
And you beat Valentine last week, Doug. At the This allows you as a coach to be able to look them all square in the face and say, I told you. You know, because they had a plan, right?
They've done
this. If we do this, this, and this, and this, this will happen to you, and it is. This is a huge deal for O'Neill moving forward.
Your winners today for O'Neill at 120, Caden Moore, John Marvin, 132, Corey Rouse, 145, Blake Walters, 152, David Fox, 170. Those three all number one in the state in Class C. Bailey Thompson, 182, Jason Hallbeck at 220. For Amherst, Trace Bosch, 106, Braden Cumston, 113, Kalen Klingelhofer, 126, Colton Burke, 138, Colin Dibbern, 160, Jacob Martinson, 195, Tanner Hercock, 285. But there you go, in a five weight classes there from 45 to 82. That's where this was won by O'Neill today. They won four of those five matches. And you've been listening to the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery post-game show. Certified and fellowship-trained physicians providing a superior standard of care with no referral necessary. No matter the activity, New West is here to get you back to it. Schedule your appointment today. Photos and the podcast all up on PlatteRiverPreps.com. Podcast will be up tonight if you want to ever listen to this or any of our high school sports, from football to volleyball to basketball to wrestling. Also, photos will be up early next week from today's duel. You can look at them, download them. They're free. Do what you want. Larry Baker, always appreciate the time. Your last thought before we get on out of here.
I just thought it was a wonderful event. I'm glad that that we were able to cover it, Doug. Both these teams are going to have a lot to say with who wins the class and individual championships in February, and just a dynamite thing for these kids in both programs. And congratulations to O'Neill.
Want to thank our producer engineer back at the studio, Stacy Johns, and for Larry Baker, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks to Connor Stange here at the University of Nebraska, the sportsman in charge of collegiate wrestling, for his help here today. It was a great event. It's going to be better on the ride home for O'Neill, but what a way to go. 35-34. It ends up with Blake Walters getting a takedown in overtime to beat Devin Dibbert in the final match, 2-0. You can't ask for anything closer than that. This is Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again Tuesday for High School Hoops. Kearney Catholic taking on Ravenna, and we will also continue our coverage on the Doug and Daddy Show Monday of UNK's apparent new head football coach. Many reports, we have confirmed that there is a new football coach at UNK. Central Missouri's offensive coordinator is coming over to take the helm, and a lot of that has been out here over the last 24 hours, and so we will tell you that Josh Laborson is going to be the new coach, and we expect a press conference sometime early next week. Until then, this is Doug Duda for Larry Baker, Stacy John saying thanks for listening. The final score, O'Neill 35, Amherst 34 in this Capital City wrestling dual clash here in Lincoln.
Proceeding has been a KKPR sports production brought to you by the Classic Hits Sports Club. To download this podcast or any of our podcasts, go to our podcast link at kkpr.com.